This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I had a little bit of this at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, but it looks like the narrative in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho might be changing a little bit. Phil Holloway is going to join us in a second, but let me kind of get you up to date. You had two firefighters who were killed, and another had to have emergency surgery after they showed up to a fire that was allegedly, according to the sheriff out there, set by this guy, they think, who shot the firefighters. Here's the 911 call.
We need law enforcement up here immediately. We've got another Coeur d'Alene firefighter down. We've got two unresponsive battalion chiefs, gunshot wounds, multiple gunshot wounds. Two Coeur d'Alene firefighters are down. I'm pinned down. It's clear to me that this fire was set intentionally to draw us in.
Okay, so the sheriff out there says there's no doubt what happened.
We do believe that the suspect started the fire, and we do believe that it was an ambush, and it was intentional. And, we do believe that he started it. And it was totally intentional.
As if, you know, first responders don't have enough on their plate to begin with, even those in St. Louis here showing up, you know, police officers and firefighters in certain parts of the city, they don't feel safe, I'm sure of that.
These firefighters did not have a chance.
So, but here's what's interesting. Let me welcome Phil Holloway into the mix here this afternoon. Fox News legal analyst, good friend of this show in particular. How are you, Phil? Good afternoon.
Well, I'm doing great, brother. I hope you are.
I am, but here's the confusion, and I'm just going to tell you. So I just Googled this to see if there were any updates, and this was a story that just cleared by the Associated Press, and the AP was the first person to identify who this kid was earlier today, and I don't like to mention their names, but he's a 20-year-old kid. But have you seen this update? It says this. This was at 4:44, so just about 20 minutes ago. It says, a man shot firefighters battling a blaze in northern Idaho after they asked him to move his vehicle, killing two of them and wounding a third. That's a news story, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be much, much, much different. That seems, okay, so if this most recent update is true, obviously the caller where they said, you know, this fire was obviously set to lure us in, it seems like maybe it was just somebody with a bad attitude problem and unable to control their temper, and they didn't want to move their vehicle. Now, I guess two things could probably be true, and we have to wait for the investigation to run its course. But the new information always
It's confusing.
Is good to have, because we want to understand what happened so that we can hopefully keep it from happening again. Right.
So I'm even going to give the listeners a good example of back-to-back reports from the AP. So here's the earlier story. As a wildfire began to sow panic in a small northern Idaho mountain town, a group of firefighters who rushed to put out the blaze instead found themselves in an unexpected shootout. A man who had intentionally set the fire to ambush the crew, and I played the audio from the sheriff, if you seem to agree with that, was perched in a sniper position firing at the firefighters. They took cover behind fire trucks, but two died and a third was wounded during a barrage of gunfire over several hours. So then the update says a man shot firefighters battling a blaze in northern Idaho after they asked him to move his vehicle, killing two of them and wounding a third. That's like completely different. That's not even close to being the same story.
Well, you know, look, how many times, though, have we watched any of these, you know, breaking news stories involving active shootings where it gets, it changes sometimes by the minute or by the hour or certainly by the day. So I'm not surprised that we're getting more details on this investigation. As a former first responder, you know, I saw this and I'm thinking, you know, this is a rural area. If this is one, and we heard some reports that maybe multiple snipers up there, it's like, what in the world is going on? How are you gonna get enough resources up there unless you have a quick response force, QRF team, you know, from the special forces and an Apache helicopter? How are you gonna neutralize this threat? Turns out it was something obviously horrible and tragic, but maybe our imaginations ran wild.
Well, but maybe, I mean, what's interesting is both of the stories included the sheriff as, you know, the source. And the sheriff basically said...
So you did say there was a gun found, a weapon, correct?
Correct.
What kind was that?
We're not releasing that right now, just because we had to scoop everything up so quickly. We could not preserve the scene like traditionally we would like to. So we believe that there's a likelihood that when we are able to enter the scene again tomorrow without the threat of fire, that we'll find other weapons that were placed.
So we'll have to see. I mean, maybe two things can be true at the same time, where they were, you know, coming upon this guy and they were asking him to move the vehicle and he was ambushing them. I don't know. I just think that's weird that the update came out this afternoon, 20 minutes ago, very different than the narrative that's been there the entire day.
Yep. These are always fluid, dynamic, and evolving. And so it's fun to talk about them. And this, but you got to be careful to not let your imagination get too crazy. I was having a hard time not letting my imagination run wild last night because I automatically assumed something way more sinister.
So here's another update of a story that Fred is giving to me right now, and I know nothing about it. This is a Fox News report saying that Brian Kohlberger has accepted a plea deal, and this is both related to Idaho, ironically, in the Idaho student massacre case. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I was hearing this just before we went on the air just now together. And so, look, this is a death penalty case. Right. This has always been a death penalty case. And on the eve of trial, literally, is when plea deals tend to come to fruition.
Right.
If it came to fruition today, it's been in the works for a while. They've been talking about it. A lot of times these families, look, they have been through hell. They have been through the worst imaginable hell that you can think of as family, you know, mothers and fathers losing children that way. For them to go through this trial, they would have to relive all of this over and over again. And there is something to be said. Look, I personally think he ought to get the death penalty. If ever there was a case, this one is it. But out of respect for probably the desires and the wishes of some in the family, maybe all of them, they don't have to go through this anymore. And he's going to spend the rest of his life in a hole in a cage somewhere. So I can understand why a plea deal might be attractive to families. And believe me, the victims' families are absolutely in the works of these discussions with prosecutors. Prosecutors don't make this call just on their own. They involve the families of the victims in it. And unless there's more or less consensus that this is in the best interest of the family moving forward, this wouldn't be happening. But the reason that these things come to pass the way they do in death penalty cases is to take death off the table, and also it gives the families some small comfort in closing this horrible chapter of their lives and moving on.
I don't think there was any doubt that this guy was guilty and they had the goods on him. But one of the frustrating parts, and maybe this is just selfishly me as someone who, you know, we all have curiosity with these cases. There's no doubt. That's why documentaries are made. And I'm sure there'll be a documentary made, you know, for Netflix on this one as well. But the thing that's missing is why he did it. And the circumstances are still very bizarre, the nature of the crime. I mean, they have the DNA, they have the knife, or they have the sheath of the knife. So they knew that they had him, you know, pinged in the area. He was doing a little recon. But why in the hell did he do it? And why did he do it to these people?
Well, and, you know, that's he may never reveal that. On the other hand, you know, you can work all kinds of things into a plea deal. And while I haven't seen the terms of this one, but, you know, it may require, and sometimes, and I've actually seen this, where it requires a defendant to fully disclose everything about the case so that these questions can be answered. But, you know, this is the kind of situation where you have a what looks like a mass murderer, obviously, and perhaps a serial killer, right, that's just getting started in his career and makes some mistakes and gets caught right out of the gate. So criminologists and those who study these kind of things will probably be picking his brain for many years.
You would expect, though, if this is just coming together right now, that maybe we'll get some sort of news conference tomorrow where some of these things might be at least asked. I don't know about answered, but typically, you know, the prosecutors like to wrap things up with the media, at least explain to a certain extent what's going on.
Yeah, and if there's going to be a plea deal, it's probably going to happen quick, too, because, you know, you want to strike while the iron's hot. Presumably both sides want this deal to go through, so you know, they want to go ahead and put the final touches on it. It does have to be approved by the judge, but I can't imagine the judge not going along with a plea deal that involves someone serving life without parole.
I admittedly, Phil Holloway, have not followed the ins and outs, and I don't know that many of the listeners have, of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. But apparently that has gone to the jury. But even since this morning, there's been a snag in that because one of the jurors couldn't follow the judge's instructions. Can you explain what's on the line here and where this is heading?
All right, so I just posted something about this on my X feed at Phil Holloway ESQ for anybody who wants to check it out. I think, Mark, that there's a stealth juror. Okay, a stealth juror is someone who doesn't tell the truth during jury selection. They have an agenda to get on the jury. They're trying to get on the jury. Most of us try to get off jury duty. These people try to get onto the actual jury. And it may be for the purpose of convicting somebody, and it may be for the purpose of finding them, you know, not guilty despite the evidence. You know, they have an agenda. Maybe their agenda is publicity in books and things like that. But these are people who will not tell the truth and will find themselves on a jury. And when they get onto a jury, they can cause all kinds of trouble. Because, look, they may be back there simply arguing about things, and you have one person that says, you know, the judge says this, and then one says, well, I remember it differently. The judge didn't say that. The judge said something else. And so it might just be one person's opinion that somebody's not following the judge. The judge can bring that person out if they've identified the juror, and I believe they have, can bring that person out in the courtroom without the other jurors and have a discussion with this juror, with the other parties present, and find out just what's going on. And if the juror comes out and convinces the judge that, no, I'm following your instructions, I'm following them as I understand them and as I believe them to be in good faith, we're just having a disagreement in the jury room. If that's all that it is, he sends them back and tells them to keep going. On the other hand, if it does look like someone is willfully not obeying the judge's instructions, you could be looking at moving an alternate into that juror's place, and then the jury deliberations have to restart all over again. But needless to say, when you have somebody who is in the jury room with an agenda, it can really muck up the works.
So they have to decide if he's guilty of one count of racketeering conspiracy, two counts of sex trafficking, two counts of transportation to engage in prostitution. Now, I admitted here at the beginning that I haven't followed this very closely, but it does seem in the amount that I have followed that they have the goods on him to get a guilty verdict here. You know, people have heard about the freak-offs. There was a lot of salacious information and testimony in this case. It looks pretty bad for Diddy in this particular situation. Do you think that possibly he gets off and a jury finds him not guilty or not?
Well, I think they have a good, strong case against him, assuming the jurors are deliberating in good faith. They've got a good case against him, at least as far as the transportation of the sex worker across state lines for prostitution. That all seems pretty clear. What might not be quite so clear is, and reasonable doubt creeps in, we know that there were the free costs and all this, but we also know through pretty good cross-examination and some other evidence and text messages, we know that these victims are, arguably, went along with a lot of this willingly, or at least there's certainly some evidence that the defense has pointed to and has argued shows that they were willing participants. So it's one of these things where, are they really victims? Were they really forced? Or was it something that they went along with because they had some particular affection for him and now they maybe regret it? So the defense was able to raise that issue. They weren't able to, I don't think, prove conclusively, but the defense doesn't have to prove anything. They just have to raise reasonable doubt, a doubt for which a reason can be attached. And if one juror buys that, then the jury can be hung on those counts. So the case against him is not open and shut on all counts, in my view.
Fox News analyst, legal analyst Phil Holloway with us this afternoon. Let's go back to Friday, a slew of Supreme Court decisions, and a lot of them obviously pretty strong. I would say, the Trump administration did pretty well on this slew of cases from this term, vindicated, if you will.
That was quite something from the Supreme Court last week. The ruling as it pertains to, parental rights and education, look, it's past time that the courts rule in favor of moms and dads, because it's moms and dads who control their kids' lives. It's who moms and dads make these decisions. Moms and dads get to make religious and educational decisions, not the schools. And for far too long, moms and dads have been told by schools that you don't count. What you want to do doesn't matter. We are in charge of your kids. So sending that message loud and clear was one of the best things that the Supreme Court could have done for parents in the United States. As to the injunctions, and I think we've talked about this before. Look, these judges, they think, okay, I've got the power of judicial review, so that must mean I can substitute my judgment for that of the president, because I don't like what the president's doing with this policy. That's not how judicial review works. You have to recognize, if you're the judge, that you're not the chief executive. The only question you can answer is, is this policy plan, is this course of action, whatever the executive is doing that you're looking at, does that violate the Constitution in some way? Not whether or not you think it's a good idea, okay, or whether it should have been done differently. And if you look at Justice Ketanji Brown, she thinks that it's her place to overrule the wisdom and the judgment of whoever sits in the Oval Office. The Supreme Court doesn't get to do that. That is the job of the chief executive. That's what the chief executive is elected for. If the chief executive does things that people don't like, that maybe it's bad policy, then you deal with that at the ballot box, not with the courts. Courts needed to be reined in. Thankfully, they were.
I thought Ketanji Brown Jackson's only goal was to appear on Broadway in a play. That was her main mission.
Maybe so. Because if you read any part of her dissent, it just didn't seem like something that would have been written by a learned Supreme Court justice.
Well, she doesn't.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com.
Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
You know, this is something that I've gone off on the last couple of years. I'm an anti-expert guy because we seem to hold Supreme Court justices in the highest regard. In many cases, maybe we should, in Clarence Thomas and certainly in Antonin Scalia of the past. But it's amazing to me, now that we get to hear more of the questions that are asked during some of these hearings, how dumb some of them are, really. Sotomayor on down the list.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I don't know that I'm going to call them dumb, but I'll say they certainly have written some dumb things, some things that did not suggest that they were putting their best foot forward. It seems like they are not able to separate their emotions and their personal politics from their job as neutral arbiters of law and justice. Okay, that's what I see over and over and over. Out of some of these really, and this goes down to the district court level. I mean, some of these written opinions and these rulings are just absolutely just bizarre, absolutely bizarre. Now we see judges in district courts that, you know, they don't necessarily want to follow Supreme Court precedent now. They've kind of figured out a way that, okay, this doesn't fit my agenda. I was ruling with an agenda because, you know, I don't like the president or his policies, and now I've got this appellate ruling. I've got to figure out a way to say how this appellate ruling doesn't change things for how I want to rule. So it's just this agenda-based judicial activism that we see that's just getting into and destroying our courts from the inside out.
Phil Holloway, always great to have you on. You know how much I love you. Thank you so much. You have a great 4th of July.
You too, brother.
All right. Take care. I heard the former governor of Texas, former energy secretary, Rick Perry, talk about something really interesting and sort of out of left field for me about a particular drug earlier today on Fox. I'm going to have that details coming up. Rich is coming up, former chief of police for St. Louis County. You know, we talked about this, Sue, on the roundtable, the police commission that was appointed a week ago today by Governor Kehoe. And I threw some red flags on the makeup of that. And I even invoked Chief Fitch's name. I said, why not? Now, he's not in the city, but why not someone like that, a former law enforcement guy? I guess maybe the progressives would throw a red flag on that at the Board of Aldermen. But I thought it would be good to get his insight on that particular process. And he's coming up here. So I'm driving in today to the station, and I hear Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas and the former energy secretary, he has not really been in the limelight for a long time, talking about something fascinating that I was not aware of. It was not on my radar. The guest segment on Fox was inspired by an op-ed that he wrote, and I missed this last week, in the Washington Post. And in that piece, he said this: I've spent most of my adult life in public service as governor of Texas, as U.S. Secretary of Energy, and a proud veteran. And a few things have moved me, like what I've witnessed with a psychedelic, few things have moved me, like what I've witnessed with a psychedelic drug made from a shrub in Africa. So hear me out on this, because this is really interesting. He says, this month, Texas became the first state in the nation to allocate public funding for an FDA-approved clinical trial of Ibogaine. It's spelled I-B-O-G-A-I-N-E, committing $50 million, the largest psychedelic research investment ever made by a government. It's a bold bipartisan move rooted in science and urgency. Ibogaine, he wrote, is a naturally occurring plant medicine derived from a shrub native to Gabon and surrounding countries in West Africa. It is quite literally a plant root, yet it is changing the way we think about healing trauma, substance abuse disorder, and brain injury, even anxiety and things like that. He says clinical data shows that Ibogaine has the potential to interrupt substance dependence, reduce trauma symptoms, and promote neurological repair. And he says he first heard about this from Morgan Luttrell. Morgan Luttrell's brother. Do you ever see the movie Lone Survivor?
No.
Well, that was about his brother. It's a great story. It's an amazing movie. He was a Navy SEAL. But he said this. He says that, Morgan is a member of Congress right now. He's a former SEAL. He says, he admitted this. He goes, because I can see the look on your face, right? Psychedelic drug, helping people combat PTSD, et cetera. What does that mean? You know, most often you hear about psilocybin, mushrooms. And in some states in this country, they've tried to make, like I think out in the Pacific Northwest in Washington State, in Oregon, they've allowed use of psilocybin in microdoses to help people. So Rick Perry says, when he told me about it, I cautioned him. Like many people, I thought I knew what psychedelics were, that they were dangerous, something to stay far away from. I grew up, he says, in the Nixon era, where the message was clear: drugs are bad, psychedelics will ruin your life, and the only responsible path is total avoidance. But I've come to realize how wrong that narrative was. That fear-based messaging kept us from exploring treatments that could have saved countless lives. So he talks about how Morgan went to Mexico for Ibogaine treatment, because this is what's happened. People are going down to Mexico. He comes home less than a week later. He was clear. He was calm. He was centered in a way that Rick Perry says he had never seen him before. He had found a path forward from the psychological wounds he had been dealing with for years. Then I watched his twin brother, Marcus, also a Navy SEAL and a hero that so many Americans know from the book and movie Lone Survivor, go through the same experience. And here's what he said on Fox earlier today on this topic.
Well, Texas has a huge veteran population, as they do active duty military as well. Mm-hmm. And my relationship with them goes back decades, literally. As you'll recall, Marcus Luttrell lived with my wife and myself from 07 through 09. He was very deeply affected by the wounds of war, traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress, as was his twin brother, Morgan, who is now a United States Congressman. Morgan worked with me at the Department of Energy, and that's when I first heard of this compound being used in Mexico by our veterans who were going down and being treated. So that's a quick synopsis of the personal effect that these two young men and others that I'd talked to.
So he tells the story. He says, look, he had never really heard about this before. He explained how thousands of veterans have traveled to Mexico outside of the country to access the treatment because they can't get it here. He indicated that small studies and firsthand reports suggests that Ibogaine might hold promise for a range of things, including Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS, anxiety. The list goes on.
I've been to the facilities in Mexico. I've studied this deeply. I've looked at the Stanford trial that Nolan Williams and the Stanford University, and it's without a doubt, in my opinion, this is a Schedule I drug, but it was swept up along with a lot of other compounds back in the late 60s, 70s, never to be touched and used. And we are seeing now that this can, in fact, with one treatment.
You know what? That's the most interesting part. It works differently than a lot of other drugs, and this is one of the things that's happened with opioid addicts. In many cases, he says it requires just one single treatment to interrupt years, sometimes decades, of devastating dependence. It involves taking an Ibogaine capsule under medical supervision, followed by an hours-long, intensely introspective journey. It appears to reset the brain, allowing people to step out of the cycle of addiction without the painful withdrawal and constant maintenance that define most options. I think it's fascinating. He's now working with this group now. He kind of, I think, was partially a founder. And I want to find out more. I'm going to try to get Rick Perry on the show because I thought it was so interesting. It's different, obviously, but the state of Texas leading the way on that. If you caught the beginning of the show with Phil Holloway, the narrative on this story in Idaho is changing just a little bit. Here's the harrowing 911 call. The firefighters show up for this brush fire, and then they just start getting hit by gunfire.
We need law enforcement up here immediately. We've got another Coeur d'Alene firefighter down. We've got two unresponsive battalion chiefs, gunshot wounds, multiple gunshot wounds. Two Coeur d'Alene firefighters are down. I'm pinned down. It's clear to me that this fire was set intentionally to draw us in.
What's interesting about that story right now is, and again, I don't like to name the kid. The kid's 20 years old. Here's a story from the BBC with the headline, Idaho ambush suspect wanted to be a firefighter. The NBC story from 2 hours ago says suspect identified at the Idaho fire shooting. So every once in a while, you know, when I'm doing this live on the air, I like to check to see if there's new information, for example, on the Big Beautiful Bill. And the latest story makes no sense whatsoever. It's from the Associated Press, which is an outlet that sometimes can't be trusted. And it says a man who set a wildfire and then fatally shot two firefighters and wounded another in northern Idaho was a 20-year-old transient who attacked the first responders after they asked him to move his vehicle. So the narrative changing just a little bit. I did not bring former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch, former St. Louis County Councilman, on the air to talk about specifically this. But I don't know if you've tracked that story here in the last few hours, but it's a little weird the way the narrative might be changing.
Well, that's not unusual in a fresh news story. Hi, Mark. Thanks for the invitation. I will tell you that this reminds me a lot of, do you remember the Maplewood firefighter, Ryan Hummert, that was shot and killed in an ambush fire in 2008 off of Big Bend?
I do not remember that. No.
Oh, yeah. 22-year-old firefighter from Maplewood, Ryan Hummert, Rockwood Summit graduate. He was the first firefighter on the scene to a car fire. And then the homeowner that had set his own car on fire immediately started shooting. He was shot and killed. Two Maplewood police officers were shot and survived. This reminds me a lot of that, where it was clearly an ambush. You draw them in. And, you know, certainly firefighters, police officers are more apt to think about, you know, it could be an ambush, those type of things. But firefighters aren't. They're there to put out a fire.
Right.
And that's what it sounds like this person did in Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, I mean, my first thoughts was, I said this earlier, could you even imagine being in a situation as a firefighter, you're just trying to do your job, and then you have to face something like this. Now, I know cops have to deal with this all the time, but you would anticipate, I don't think firefighters, you know, carry weapons to fire back. That's one significant difference.
Yeah, exactly. And in urban areas, like even St. Louis, many of the firefighters and paramedics wear bulletproof vests because of the,
really?
The nature of the calls they're going to and the neighborhoods they're going to. Many of the gunshot victims, you know, they come back for retaliation. And, yeah, so they I don't know if all of them are wearing bulletproof vests, but I know firefighters in the city, specifically EMS, that do wear bulletproof vests.
So I invoked your name on the Reardon Roundtable. You're a veteran of the Roundtable. You were not on last Friday, but I mentioned you because we were talking about the appointments by Governor Kehoe to the new police commission. Mayor Kara Spencer will be a full voting member. He names Brad Ortega, Don Brown, Sonia Jenkins-Gray, Edward McVeigh, Chris Saraceno, so all very successful business owners in the city. But I said something like, man, wouldn't it be nice to have someone like a Tim Fitch type on that commission? Now, maybe my instincts were wrong because in a situation like this, you want people independent from law enforcement. But I was very curious about your take on the governor's appointments. He came on my show on Tuesday. He defended them. Jane commented on Friday. She said the rank and file responded pretty well to these appointments. But I'm really curious to hear what you thought about all this.
Well, some people are like, we should remove politics from, you know, selections like this. There's no way. I was downtown earlier today. I was in Clayton today. Both times I saw people I knew, multiple people I knew. This is St. Louis. You're going to, it's going to be people you know and that you've heard of. And I will tell you that I have no problem with any of these individuals the governor selected. Let's give them a chance. Let's see what happens. Let's see how they do. But as far as former police officer, former law enforcement, here's one thing I guarantee you. This governor is very close with the police community in the city of St. Louis and the region. And I will guarantee you they had input on these individuals. And if any of those police labor union leaders had problems with any of these individuals, my guess is the governor would not have selected them. So, you know, my feeling is that this is about as good as you're going to get as far as a pro-police crowd of appointees. But they also have a job to do, and you have to be able to, if you have to drop the hammer and say, you know, this police officer needs to be disciplined or fired or whatever, I am sure I know most of these individuals pretty well. I'm sure they would do that if they absolutely have to. But short of that, I think what you're going to see is a very supportive police board in the city of St. Louis, and that's been sorely needed in the city.
You know, they have the ability to change policy, is my understanding as well. But what good is any policy change going to do unless you get more cops on the streets? And that seems to be a challenge. And you have another election tomorrow in one aldermanic seat, and it looks like it might go to another Megan Green-type progressive. So when you have a board of aldermen that's really not on the side of police, and you got a mayoral candidate in New York City who's a defund the police guy, and here we go again, how do you make any changes?
Well, you just described exactly why the governor and the legislature did what they did.
Yeah.
They felt like they had to go around some of those anti-police far-left progressives, and that's exactly what they did by appointing this police board, is they went around them. So I think as long as the police officers know that if they follow the law and they follow their policy and they follow their training, this police board is going to have their back. I think that's pretty clear. So I think they could still do their job, even though you have some of these far-left progressives, because they're not reporting to these far-left progressives. And remember how the budget worked out in this new state control bill. You know, they have to provide, I don't remember the exact number, percentage of budget for the police department, whether they like to or not. They have to do that.
So do you have a relationship with Chief Tracy by any chance or not? I can never remember.
Oh, I've talked to him many times, but as far as, you know, it's just professional.
But it seems like, well, then I can ask this question. Do you have confidence that he's the guy to kind of guide us through this right now? The governor seems to have some confidence in Chief Tracy. I've seen an unwillingness for him to take a stand and say, look, we need officers. We need these things to be changed, to have a more forceful attitude. Now, words are words and action is action, but I've never been left inspired by this is the guy that's going to turn things around here in St. Louis. Now, not one person can do it, Chief. I get that. But give me some confidence that he's the guy that can at least play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, options, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
They're rolling this.
Well, I want you to think about it this way. He's no longer working for Tashara Jones.
No, that's right.
Or one particular person. That can completely flip how a police chief does their job when they're working for a group of individuals who will support their decisions and support the officers when they get it right. And that's a whole different situation than working at the pleasure of Mayor Tashara Jones.
Well, that's true. So, but that's the only hope I can get from right now, right? Because this is such a complicated thing. I feel like you and I have known each other for a long time. I talked about this on the roundtable. We talk about the same things every Friday. We need more cops on the street. We have this breaking out in downtown. We can't keep doing this. And now, you know, I don't know if you saw the story from last week on the population, and you know what hope can you offer that we can build St. Louis and move it in a better direction with population, with enterprise, you know, with you know, entrepreneurship, all the things that are needed to make a city successful.
I am more positive about the city of St. Louis than I've been in a long time because of some of the changes the state has enacted, this police board. I think you're going to see some changes. It's not going to be overnight. But you're already starting to see police departments around the country start to recover as far as staffing goes. I don't think the St. Louis Police Department is going to be any different. I think they're going to start recovering.
Well, I hope you're right about that. Anything you want to say about that mayoral candidate in New York I referenced? Good Lord, how about that guy?
Well, you know what I could say is if he ends up being the mayor, they get what they paid for. Let them spiral down until they crash and burn. That's what had to happen in Detroit. I think we've talked about Detroit
before.
Yeah,
you've mentioned that before.
Yeah. And they are coming back. Sometimes you just have to let that happen.
You might be right about that. Chief, always great to have you on. We'll see you on the roundtable soon.
All right, take care.
All right, take care. Audio cut of the day is coming up next. So wasn't it last week on Sue's News you mentioned Stranger Things finally coming out?
Yeah, it might have been before that, but yes.
So it's going to come out, as I remember you describing it, I think several episodes right around Thanksgiving and then the final episodes around Christmas or New Year's, which we're looking forward to. So I discovered, I'm going to do this tomorrow at 4:04. I had it on the list for today, and then I told my washing machine going awry story. And yes. I learned from Sue that the whole problem that I have, if you missed that story, is that I have a side loader, and you never have issues with the top loaders.
Well, that's not true, but not that one I haven't had yet.
Well, this one, I'll just recount the story real quickly, because we were there's a little message that comes up on the electronics that says SUD. And I Googled that, and what it indicates is there's too much soap that's in the deal at the same time. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. But what was happening is there's this filter on my Samsung, and it's at the bottom of the machine. And I know, because I've been in this house now for 8 years, that I have to, and now I need to do it probably monthly, and I only do it like once or twice a year, pop that thing open, unscrew the little filter. When I unscrew it, I always have water that leaks out. And I was prepared for that. So I had one towel, right? I needed literally like 10 towels. It was everywhere. The water started gushing out. And the reason is because there was all this gunk in there. And there was a couple of pieces of plastic or something like that.
Jeez.
That clearly was something that we accidentally washed in the machine. But it was a little crazy. But I bring it up because I was going to tell you this Stranger Things tie-in story. And I'll wait for tomorrow. I just sent Fred a message. Because Fred doesn't watch it. If you watch it, I think you might find it interesting. It's about one of the characters, and it involves music. That's all I will say. But that's coming up tomorrow on the show. I got a couple of things here to do for audio cut of the day, so let's get right to that.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Yeah, coming full circle on the beginning of the show, I have no idea what's going to happen with this. It seems like the brightest and sharpest minds, as I'm looking at the Senate right now with the wrangling that keeps going on, all this stuff behind the scenes, they're voting on amendments, they're working backdoor deals, they got to get it to the House in order for the House to pass it and get to President Trump's desk, right? I don't know that they can do that. Even President Trump, when asked about that by Maria Bartiromo, said he's maybe a little bit more flexible than he had been on the 4th of July deadline because he just wants to get it passed. But they're working on this in the Senate. It looks like Josh Hawley, despite all his TV ads and his concerns about Medicaid, it looks like he's going to vote for it. It doesn't look like Rand Paul or Senator Tillis is going to vote for the final product. We'll see. I'd like to see Fetterman vote for it, see if we get one Democrat. Jason Smith is a key component of this. He is the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. He represents a good portion of Southeast Missouri, and he has been shepherding this through. He was on with Trey Gowdy on Fox last night. What happens next?
As long as the Senate continues balance over the next 24 hours and help fix some of the flaws that's in the bill right now that we have pointed out that could be toxic pills to some of our members, if they do that within the next 24 hours, it'll come back to the House, and the House would then accept the Senate changes to the original House bill, vote on it, and then send it directly to the president's desk. If the Senate makes substantial changes that requires a conference, that's going to take a little bit longer. But we're hopeful that they'll be able to pass something that we can pick up, pass, send directly to the president's desk, because it'd be a great welcome to the 250th anniversary of our great nation to give everyone a tax cut and to make sure that they have the largest spending cut in U.S. history and also the largest investment in border security and creating the Golden Dome for American security. Great things for Americans to celebrate on July 4th.
Okay, I agree with him on all that. There's a lot of good things in this thing, but there's a lot of things that are questionable as well. When it gets kicked back to the House with the changes in the Senate, how do you keep the votes there?
It's all about balance. For almost 2 years, we've been working on the tax-specific aspect of this bill with the entire Republican conference, trying to figure out how we should thread the needle and to balance. We were able to pass it originally just by one vote, 215 to 214 out of the House. It's going to be very close this time, but we're going to get the job done. That's why balance is crucial, whether it's SALT, whether it's the green credits, whether it's Medicaid reforms. It all has to be balanced, and we're going to deliver that.
Well, we'll see what happens. President Trump is certainly keeping his fingers crossed.
It's very important. If we don't have it, there's a 68% tax increase. We're cutting 1.7. Let's see, we're cutting, 1.7 trillion. Think of it. I think I just saw the number a little while ago, $1.7 trillion. But we can grow our country so much more than that. And what I want to do is do it through growth. We're going to have growth like we've never seen before.
Well, we're going to know a lot more by the time the show starts tomorrow at 3. Sue, have a great night.
You too.
We'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.